Begin the current daf, Masechta Baba Basra, daf Samach Gimel. Begin 5 lines down by the top of the Amud. But the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, which was talking about the concept about how necessary the precision is in the words that are written in the document, which we had been speaking about the actual boundaries, which words were used to define. And now the Gemara continues in a related theme regarding what words are used to define what exactly is being included in the sale. So says the Gemara Pshita, it's obvious regarding, let's say, a person on his deathbed or anybody that's dividing up his assets based on his command. Omar, if he says, Yachlik plaini benichsai, that this person should be Yachlik, should split with my assets, that what that means to say is palga, that it gets half. That's what the word Yachlik is, to be Machlik, to split it in half. But, as the Gemara, Tnu chelik plaini benichsai. Let's say he says, give a chelik, a portion to that person in my property is my, what would the halacha be in that case? In other words, do we say that there also, when you say give a chelik, it's the same terminology of yachlik, which is a chalukah, meaning that he gets half? Or do you say that no, give him a portion that's fit to be given, which then that would depend on what the courts would say to estimate how much is it fit for this person to get. But it doesn't mean give a yachlik. It means give a chelik. A chelik could be 1/10, 1/20, whatever it is. So that's the question. Yachlik means he has to get half, but what does it mean to nu chelik? So Amar Avinu Bar Kisi says, Toshima, come in here and we'll answer the question from the time like learned in the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Ha'imer to nu chelik leplein bebari. Same words. Give to that person a chelik, a portion in this pit which is filled up with water. So Sumcha Samer, he says, Ein pachas mirviya. He doesn't get less than a quarter of the water in that pit. Now, the reason for this is because Simchas goes according to his opinion mentioned elsewhere in Perek Shosh and Agah Chazapara, that there's a halacha regarding if, let's say, an animal that was pregnant gets gored or gores, so there's a doubt always regarding, so the animal, we know what it did, but we don't know if the fetus, which was ultimately found there on the side, was it in the animal at the time of the incident, was it born after, or was it born before? So that the Gemara there says that half of the damages is for the cow, and a quarter for the child, which the Gemara there explains that that's going according to Sumchis, which he says this concept, which is what the Gemara is going to be basing this on, which is called Mamun Hamutal Basafik is Chalkin. When you have money that's in doubt, so then you go 50-50, you divide it. Now, so therefore, this halach of Sumchis is based on the same principle, where we're in doubt, which was actually our Gemara's question, and we're actually going to resolve that question is actually going to be part of the answer. When you say tnu chelik leplaini bebar, what does that mean? Does tnu chelik mean like yachlik plaini, which means to say that he gets half? Or does chelik mean just a token portion, even a small amount, which would even be like a revias halug, just a very small amount of water from the pit? No, so therefore it says Sumchas that the one who is receiving this gift from the pit of the water shouldn't be getting less than a quarter and a little bit more from the water in the pit. Why? Because, let's say we had been in doubt, let's say, regarding this one who's giving the water in the pit to this person, if he's giving him half, or he would be giving him nothing, let's say that was the doubt. So then, this recipient should have been getting half of the half, which is a quarter of the water in the pit, because of Sumchas' principle, which he's basing his halacha on, of Mamun Hamutal Basafik is Chalkin. We don't know. There's a doubt regarding when this guy says, give a chelik. Did he mean a half of the water in the pit? Or let's say if it meant nothing. So then he would get a quarter because half of half is a quarter. Now, the situation over here where it's a little bit even more than that, where here the doubt is if he's giving him a half or he's giving him a chelik, which is very little, but it's still something like a revias halug. So most definitely in this situation, he cannot be taking less than a quarter and a little bit more, because it's not a doubt of half or zero, it's a doubt of half or something like a minute amount, like a revias halug. So he's going to be getting not less, a quarter and a little bit more of the water there in the pit. Now continues Simchas based on these same principles, and he says, that's if let's say he had said for a bur. But let's say he says, l'chavis, in other words, if he says, give a chelik for this person, from the water of the pit for his chavis, meaning to fill up his barrel, which is not like to which would you would say give a chelik in the bar of the water, which would mean generally to water his fields, which that you need a lot, but rather he says give him a chelik for in his barrel, which is to give his animals to drink. that you don't need that much water. And that says, Simchas ein pachas mishminas. There the halacha is you're not going to get less than an eighth in the water in the pit. And the reason for that is because only the half of the water in the pit is necessary to fill up an entire barrel. So when he says, give him a chelik, give him a portion, so then the question is, what does he mean when he says half of what he needs for his chavis? In other words, chelik. Does that mean half of what he needs from the chavis? Which is, half of the pit is already the full chavis. So if he's giving him a half of the chavis, that's going to be a quarter of the bar. Or is he telling him, no, as we said, that the word chelik can mean yachloiku, to split it, or it can mean just a minute amount. So since we have a doubt if he gets half or if he gets almost nothing, so therefore he's going to get a half of a quarter, which is 1/8. And that's the same thing for all these different halachas in this braisa, which is that the maximum requirements of all these things, barrel and all these things, are less than those amounts. So whatever the maximum is, then when you're getting a chelik, either is it that you're getting half of that, or is it that you're getting basically minimal, and then you end up getting half of that half, which is going to be, in this situation, 1/8 of the entirety of the pit, which is a quarter of what's necessary for the barrel. Continues the Braisa. Let's say Ligadera. Let's say he says, give a portion to this guy in the water of my pit for his pot, meaning to be able to use to cook his food. So Hidaloch is in Pachas Miyud Beis. He's not going to get less than 1/12 of the water in the pit, which that's a quarter of the measurement which is necessary for the pit, because maybe it means half, maybe it means almost nothing. And again, that's the same concept. Mamon Amot Basafik is Chalkin, which therefore you get a half of what is possibly the half, which in this situation is going to be 1/12 of the entirety of the water in the pit. So to continue further down, let's say Litfiach. Let's say it says, give him a chelik for the small cup that people usually drink from, which this is the smallest measurement of them all, and then it's going to be Ein Pachas Mishisha Aser. In this situation, he's not going to get less than 1/16 of the water in the pit, which that obviously tells us, and each one of these measurements, the maximum is the least that lower as they go along, which that means a regular drinking cup that they had was 1/4, the maximum of that amount of water was 1/4 of the amount of water that's in the pit. Now, when he says that he gets a chelik, that could mean half, which would mean 1/8 because half of a quarter is going to be 1/8, or it can mean he gets almost negligible, almost nothing, like a revi'is halug. So because there's a doubt, we take that half, which is 1/8, and we split that in half, which again, that comes out to 1/16, and therefore you get that amount, but it's all based on the same principle. Now, therefore, that's what the Gemara was saying, is the same idea regarding the question that we had when someone says, Tnu chelik l'plein b'nichzai, what that means to say is he's going to get a quarter. Why? Because when he says, give him a chelik, we don't know. That's the doubt. Does he mean half? Or maybe it means something minimal, like just a shabbat pruta worth. And therefore, that comes to the halacha of simchas, that mamon amot basafik is chelkin, that we divided. And therefore, you divide the half in half, which then makes it into a quarter. So that answers the Gemara's question regarding what's the halacha, that yachlik is a half, and tnu chelik is going to be, out of doubt, a quarter. Now, the Gemara continues with the following discussion that will relate back to the halacha of our Mishnah. Tarabon learned the Braisa. Ben Levi Shemacha Saddali Yisrael. When a Levi sells a field to a Yisrael, V'amalei, he tells him as follows. Almanas Shemaisa Rishin Shali. I'm going to sell you the field, but on the condition that the produce that's going to grow from this field, that the Maisa Rishin, which has to be given to a Levi, will be mine. And that's because he's a Levi, so he wants to maintain those rights which he's selling from the produce that which is going to be grown on this field. Now, as Rashbam points out, this is just because this would be a normal type of a case that would generally happen, where a Levi would be selling his field to Yisrael, a non-Levi, to make such a stipulation, because he wouldn't charge this guy any less for the field that he's selling him because of this stipulation, because this is a situation where the Levi's gaining, and the one who's buying from him is not really losing, because anyway he's going to have to give to his Meiser, either to this guy himself, the Levi, or to somebody else. Because all Israel has is just the ability to choose who he's going to give the Maaser Rishon to. So therefore, it's a common case where a Levi selling is saying, look, I'll sell it to you, but as long as you give me the Maaser Rishon. But the truth is, the same halacha would apply even to a regular Israel that sells the field to his friend Israel. And he says, on the condition that the Maaser Rishon is mine, meaning that I can give it to whoever I want to, where, yeah, the same halacha would apply, that as we're going to see, that Maaser Rishon Shaloi, that Israel would be allowed to go ahead and have that type of sinan and decide which Levi to give it to. Now, but what's the reason why the Maaser Rishon gets to be, it actually does then belong to the seller of the lady? As the Gemara is going to explain, because in actuality, really he cannot make such a transaction. Because a person cannot make an acquisition of something that's not here yet. There's no Maaser Rishon. He's selling a field which is barren now. He's saying the produce is going to grow and there's going to be Maaser Rishon. That should be mine. So how is he doing such a transaction? Obviously is that he's leaving over in the sale of the field to that person the place of that where the Maaser is going to grow. And therefore it's maintained, not acquired, but maintained by the lady, the seller. And even if the consumer then goes and sells it to someone else, you can't, because it's already the right of the lady that he can't sell to someone else, as the Gemara is going to explain this shortly. But continues the Brisa of them, Amar, if the lady says, Li ulabonai, that this Maaser Rishon that I want to hold on to from this field that I'm selling you should be for me and for my children, then if Mace, then if he dies, then Yitin Labanav, then you give it to his children. Which obviously that's coming to infer, but if he wouldn't specify that for me and for my children, then his children would not acquire these rights that his father was keeping for himself, because as the Gemara is going to explain later on, this whole halacha that he gets to maintain the Maaser Rishon is only because of the superfluosity, the extra words that he uses when he says, and I want to hold on to the Maaser Rishon. And because as we said in halacha, really, you can't make such an acquisition right now. But from the extra words, that then tells us that you're holding on to certain things in the field, which is the place where the Maaser Rishon is going to grow. So therefore, all we do is exactly what you specified, which was for yourself, and then you're going to get it. But if you didn't specify for your children too, that Yitro Lashon is not going to work for them. But like the Brisa said, if you say, Ligu Lebanai, then it will work for his children after him. Now, Vim Amalei, let's say the Levi, the seller, tells to the Yisrael, the buyer, that calls mancha asadazu biyadcha, that this stipulation should only apply as long as the field is still in your domain. Then if machar b'chazav lacha, then if this buyer sold it to someone else, and even if he went back and bought a bag from that buyer, ain le'lav klum, in that situation, then the seller, the levi, has no rights of getting the Maaser Rishon anymore from this buyer, because once this buyer sold it to somebody else, so then that already removed the stipulation of this Maaser, which the original Levi, the seller, was holding on for himself, because he stipulated it's only as long as you have it. Now, when he goes back, this buyer, and buys a bag from the one he sold it to, what does one person sell to the second one? Every rights that the guy who sold it to him had himself in it. Now, just like this second buyer had certain rights, even in the Maaser, because as we said, the stipulation was only as long as the first buyer still had it, so then even this first buyer, who then is now coming, because he's buying it back from the second buyer, gets those same rights, which is even in the place where the Maaser Rishon was held on to, now that was lost by that second buyer, that first buyer then now gets those rights too. Now, the Gemara asks on the ratio of this price, why is it when the Levi makes this stipulation that he wants to get the Maaser Rishon from this field and from the produce that's going to grow from this field that he's selling to the Yisrael, but we know this halacha that in other makna davar shelo ba'olam, a person cannot make an acquisition of something that's not yet extant here in the world. Now, this Maaser, which he wants to acquire from the buyer to get that Maaser Rishon, it wasn't even planted to have the produce come out from it. The field wasn't even plowed yet. So it's not in ba'olam. How could he make such a kinyan? Says the Gemara, Kivin do Amalei, since the Levi, the seller, tells to the Yisrael, the buyer, Al Manasra Maaser Rishon Shali, he says that on the condition that the Maaser Rishon that you're going to get from your produce is going to be mine. So in other words, since he's selling on this stipulation, he obviously wants this stipulation to be fulfilled, because a person does not make stipulations for nothing. You don't just waste your words. So obviously we understand his intention is that when he's selling this field, is that he should acquire the Maaser. So therefore, what we say is, Shiyuri Shairi Lamaka Maaser, that he was leaving over the space of the Maaser in his own domain, meaning the land which is fit for the Maaser to grow on, that was not included in the sale. In other words, it's as if he told him, look, my field I'm selling to you as an arisis, as a sharecropping. What does that mean? Yes, I'm selling the entire field for you. But you're going to take 9 portions, and I'm going to take a 10th portion, which is really what sharecropping is. But although he's not really doing this, really selling him the whole field, but we read into his words and we say, what are you trying to do? You can't make such a kinyan. So why are you saying those words? So obviously what you really are doing is that you're leaving over 1/10 of the field for yourself, which that's the Maaser Rishon, which that's not even included in the sale, and that's how you get to hold on to it. But yes, to sell it and then to get it later on, that you can't do such a kinyan. Rather, that's how dynamics of this ability for the Levi to get the Maaser Rishon is because he never really sold it. He's holding on to it. Now, Amar Shel Lakish, he says, well, Zoisei Meris. Well, then this tells us from this halacha of the Braisa that when you have a stipulation that doesn't cause any change, rather, as we said, unless if you had left over some of the field for yourself. So we then interpret, so obviously then what is really happening here, as we explained the Braisa, is that he is leaving over part of the field for himself. So says Shel Lakish, from this halacha of the Braisa, we could infer the following halacha. If someone sells a house to his friend, and he tells him, as long as the upper story is mine, that says Rish Lakish, so then the upper story, meaning the roof that has walls around it that are 10 tefachim high, which is the highest story, that is going to belong to him. Now, the thing is, and this is where it relates to the halacha of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah already said, when the summons HaMoicher Es Habayis, what's not included with the house? The roof that has a wall around it, which is the highest floor, is not included in the sale. So such a stipulation doesn't cause any effect. Because even without that stipulation, it would belong to the seller, as our Mishnah taught. V'lo yasagag, and all these different halachas. So he should not have made such a stipulation. So therefore, says Rish Lakish, that's the same thing as Allah of this Braisa. What it's coming to tell us is that he's getting something that he normally wouldn't get. Even though that's not included in his words. All he said is, I want the Dutal Yaina, but anyone's getting Dutal Yaina. So as we said in the Braisa, if it's not causing any effect, then we interpret something more than what's really being said over here. Which the Gemara continues on the Beis, and it says, Lamai Helchasa. For what Allah was Rish Lakish saying that his stipulation would cause an effect, and that this upper due to the highest floor would be his, but as we said, even without what he's saying, it would be his, where, as we said, if someone sells a house, he's not selling the Dutel Yaina, the upper, meaning the roof, which is the rooftop area. So that Razud Ami explains the halacha of Rish Lakish. What Rish Lakish is coming to say is Shem Ratza, that if the seller wants to lahitzi bazizin, if he wants to extend out these poles from the roof, which is then overlooking the courtyard of the consumer, who this guy, the seller, had sold him the house and the courtyard, that stipulation is telling us that maitzi, that he can then have sticking out zizin, and that's what's being accomplished by his stipulation. Because generally you cannot have, because it's a whole problem, but zizin you're going to look into, of course, has a griya. But rather, this is what the seller was telling the buyer. When he said, when he says on the stipulation that the roof is mine, he meant totally mine, that I could do whatever I want on it, even to extend zizin out like I used to do before I sold you the house in the courtyard. Where that's the concept of that he's leaving out from the idea of the stipulation is that he's holding on to a place in the courtyard, just like we said in the halacha of the Braisa, that he's leaving out a place in the field, which is the place where the maaser is growing, that he's not selling, that's included for his own thing, because as we said, any stipulation that doesn't change anything, when we say that it's accomplishing that you're holding on to some space that is not being included in the sale, that's what Rish Lakish meant when he said, Zeisei Meris. That what that tells us is that here also he's holding on to something in the chatzar, in the Dutel Yaina, which is the space of having zizin stick out on top of the chatzar. Now, Rashbam points out that again, this stipulation would apply only for him, but his children would not have permission to extend out the zizin unless he specified liu labanai, as we said before, by the halacha of Maaser, because anything that we are inferring from the superfluosity of his words, which in this case is stipulation, that doesn't affect anything, that would be only according to what he does say, which is for himself. Like he's saying in the previous case, on the condition that the Maaser Rishon should be mine, here also when he says, on the condition that the Yudlin shall be Shali for me, but that would not include his sons in this superfluous terms, unless he said for me and for my children. It says Rav Zid's interpretation. Papa, he says no, that unnecessary stipulation would not accomplish so much to leave over a place from the actual item, the house and the courtyard that was sold. Rather, what does the superfluous stipulation come to accomplish? She'im ratza livnes aliyah, that if he wants to build this roof, meaning if it collapses, al gaba, on top of this house that he's selling him, that baina, that then he could rebuild that roof. Now, and this is actually how the Gemara comes out in the conclusion that it's talking about that if it collapses, that he can then rebuild it. Now, the reason for this is because had he been silent, the seller, and he would have just sold it unspecified, then the halacha would have been, like our Mishnah said, the Dutal Yoina, the upper story, the rooftop, would have been his as long as it would still be around. But if it would collapse, then they would not be allowed to go ahead and rebuild it on top of this guy's house, because it's only this diyuta which is meshubah to him from this house. But another diyuta, meaning to build a new one, that was never had and was indebted to him until he tells him, and specifically with, like we are saying in our case, of superfluous terminology, which then comes to include that not this diyuta, but even if it falls down, another diyuta. And this is like the Gemara said at the Edim Bab Metzid, of the Zayinim Beis, where if someone says regarding this attic and it collapses, then he loses the rights. Let's say if he's renting to him the upper story. Now, if he tells him stam, unspecified, so then he's got to go ahead and rent him another one, because he said, I'm gonna lease you an upper story, not just this one. Now, the Gemara there concludes and says that the case that is telling us the Chiddush is if he tells him, I'm leasing you this upper story on top of this house, where then there's an indebtedness of the house towards the upper story, that's where we say that he has to go ahead and give him a new upper story. But without saying superfluous terminology like where al gabe ba'ezeh, why do you have to say al gabe ba'ezeh? If he's saying this upper story, I know it means on top of gabe ba'ezeh. That comes to tell us again, the Yitul Lashon says that okay, that because if not with the Yitul Lashon, then if the upper story would collapse, then he wouldn't have to rebuild him a new one. So that's exactly what we're saying here in the Gemara. When he says, on the condition that the Yutal Yoino is should be me, it means it's mine forever. That is, even if it collapses, I have the ability to go ahead and rebuild it. Now Rashbam says, although that the Gemara to end the Bam Metziah Kovyat Zayinim and Aleph makes it sound like that it's always an obligation when you have two people, that one lives on the ground floor, one lives on the upper floor, that he has to go ahead and where he can demand from the lower story that to build the upper story, that's only when you have two brothers like divided. This guy takes the lower story, this guy takes the upper story, and they stipulate that the ground floor is indebted to the upper story. And even actually, if they don't make such a stipulation, we could assume that that's what they did. But in general, that we're here in this case where a guy's selling a house, and although he holds on to the rights of the upper story, of the rooftop, that's again only as long as it would be around. Once it would collapse, then he would not be able to rebuild a new one. That's what's being accomplished when he says this unnecessary stipulation that the Yitulon Yishali is to say that even if it collapses, he can rebuild it. Now, actually, Rav Zvid held that no, that the stipulation that's unnecessary comes to help that he could stick out the zizin, but actually it does not allow him to rebuild the rooftop. And the reason for that is because sticking out these beams is something that a person would entertain because it's something they always needed in Talmudic times. They would hang stuff from it, do laundry, who knows. But to go ahead and rebuild the rooftop if it collapses, that people don't entertain to think that such a thing would ever happen, that it would be an earthquake or whatever it is. And therefore, actually, that's not included in this unnecessary stipulation. So we have these two different interpretations that each one says exclusively of the other one what they think Rish Lakish meant to include by this guy saying an unnecessary stipulation that he's holding on to certain rights in this rooftop area. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Bishlem al Rav Zvid. It's very well understood, according to Rav Zvid, that he explains that this extra t'nai, which is unnecessary, is to come in to allow him to stick out the zizin, which essentially what that means to say is that the seller is holding on to certain rights, certain space, in the courtyard, which that's really exactly like the halacha of the Braisa, which was talking about holding on to a certain space in the field, which was the place of where a tenth of the produce will grow, which is the Maaser Rishon, which that he's holding on to himself. So says the Gemara, Sahayin Diktani, so that would make sense what Rish Lakish was saying, that Zayse Meres, that Rish Lakish had to go ahead and learn this halacha that he was saying regarding the guy who says, Dutel Lein Shali, from the halacha of the Braisa, where that we see that Yitura, that extra superfluous terminology could allow you to even maintain space in what you're selling that it's not being included in the sale, which from logic, we would not have said that when a person sells something, he's not going to really be selling all the thing and he's going to hold on to part of it. Even when you say Yitura, that's what Rish Lakish says, but you see that clearly from the Braisa. El Rav Papa, but according to Rav Papa's interpretation, my Zoy Soy Meres, what does it mean Zoy Soy Meres? Why Rish Lakish have to say, oh, you learned this halacha from the Braisa? Which comes to tell us that when you have a Yitul Lashon, that the way Rav Papa interpreted Rish Lakish Halacha, that if it collapses, you could go ahead and rebuild the rooftop area. And that the Gemara's question, even without the Braisa, we would have known this Halacha, that a Yitr Tanai, an unnecessary extra stipulation, is obviously coming to include something, either the Halacha of Rav Papa or anything. But the Mishnah already tells us later, which is later on the next daf in Samach Talmud Aleph, that Rabbi Kiva agrees when he says Chutz Mi Eilu, which, well, you didn't have to say those words. It's coming to say that then he doesn't have to purchase a right of way to get what he had left out of the, as we'll see in the next Mishnah. Now, from there, from that Mishnah already, we learn that any Tanai which was unnecessary is coming to include something, because why do you say that? Now, therefore, we don't have to know this from the Braisa any more than you would know this for, as a basic halacha from the Mishnah. So too, we said on the previous daf, which said, if he says, Ilun Mitzrana, that these are the boundaries, which he's already delineating the boundaries, we have to say these are the boundaries, it's extra words. Oh, so the Gemara, then he's going to get half. So, because of the extra words. So the question is, so essentially what Rish Lakish should have said, is not that Zoy Semeres, he should have said, Hamlecha Bayis Lechaveri, and he says, Amanas, that Yitulan Shalihi, the halacha is that then he has, like Rav Papa says, where he can then rebuild it even if it collapses. Why say Zoy Semeres? You're not learning anything more from the Braisa that we know from other sources, like in the coming Mishnah, or what we said in the previous stuff. This is the Markasha that, you're right, according to Rav Papa's interpretation, that is difficult. Why Rish Lakish have to then pin it on the Braisa, which, according to Rav Zvid's interpretation, that makes sense. Because that's a big chiddush. It's not just that you get certain things, you actually are not, you're holding on to certain things that are not being included in the sale. That's a chiddush. But according to Rav Papa, we already know that concept. Why would Rish Lakish have to say it? Zeis Emer is based on the Braisa. Now the Gemara continues on this theme, which we'll come back and draw on what we had mentioned before. Amar Rav Dimi Min Arda says, Haiman de Mazven Le Beis Lechavri, someone who sells his house to his friend, and included in the sale, he wants to sell him his pit and his cistern, all these different the areas where they store the water. Now, on that says Rav Dimi, Avagav de Kosev Le Umka Veruma, even if he wrote in the contract that he's selling him the house in the depth and in the height, Tzarech Le Michtav Le, he would still have to write in the document of the sale, Kanilach mitahoim ara vadrim rikia. Wouldn't be enough to just say, I'm selling you the depth and the height. You have to say, I'm selling you the depth of the abyss until the height of the sky. Meaning, what he's coming to say is, even if he writes in the document, I'm selling you the depth and the height of the house, the buyer would not acquire the bar and the dus, as the Gemara continues to explain, because it doesn't help what he writes, umkavaruma, only to actually get the depth of the house and the height going up. Which, what would that mean, the depth of the house? Meaning, the actual land itself that the house is on, going all the way down, meaning that the buyer could go ahead and dig beneath the ground if he wants to. Because actually, the halacha would be that if the buyer would not have written this umkavaruma, then actually the buyer would not have unspecified then bought and acquired the land itself. Rather, it actually would still be owned by the seller, who would be allowed to dig pits and caves beneath the ground of the house, as long as it doesn't harm the new homeowner that bought the house from him. Now, moreover, it also helps when he says umkavaruma to then acquire the height. So for example, let's say you have a roof which has a wall around it that's 10 tefachim high, which, as we said in our Mishnah, that's not included generally with the sale of the house, and that still belongs to the seller. That is going to be included in the sale once he says ruma, which that means going up as high as possible, which then you're right, the buyer would then acquire all the airspace going up all the way to the Shemayim, all the way up to the heavens, where if he wants to build, he could build as high as he wants to. Because actually, generally, the lekeich would not acquire it, rather it would belong to the seller, and then the seller would be allowed to go ahead and he'd be able to use it for whatever purposes he would want it, which would be to stick a zizin from it, or to build higher up in the sky, again, as long as whatever he's building on top of with the building that he sold to the buyer wouldn't be weighing down on the house that he bought and wouldn't cause him any damages. But what Rav Zvid is saying, even if you would say umkavaruma, that would not include the sale of the bar and the dus. And the reason for that is because those utilities are not similar to that of the house. So therefore, although you're saying the depth of the house and the height of the house, that's not included because it's not considered part and parcel of the house itself. And he would not acquire it unless, like Rav Dimi says, until he writes me'ar tahoima, from the depth of the ground, which means say from all the way to the bottom of the depth until the sky. Now, that extra terminology of saying ma'aris tahima from the depth of the ground, then that gives them the power to acquire the bar and the dos, the mechilas, and all these different cavities which are used to store things there. In actuality, Rashbam says that by saying Adrim Rikia, that really doesn't accomplish anything, because once he writes Umka Varuma, even without Umka Tahayma and Reim Rikia, that would already be Reim Rikia. Once you say the height, would include the height of the sky, and you wouldn't need anything more. It's just the end of the sentence, because you can't say, if you have to say Ara Tahayma to include the sale of the pits, which are also in the depth, not just the depth of digging the ground, but that he gets all the pits that he has. You can't then say, like as the Gemara elsewhere used the terminology, Achipula Besa, until the bottom of the house, because then that would actually sound like that he's only selling him the bottom of the house and nothing higher up. So again, that's just for in a sense, practical purposes, that you have to say Ad Roim Rikia. But again, the main concept is that you're not going to get the Bar Bedus until you write not just Umka Varuma, but actually that you said from Tahoim Ara, from the abyss of the land until the height of the sky. As Rav Dimi explains, says, my time, what's the reason? So he says, because the Umka Varuma Bistama Loikani. In general, the depth of the ground, which means anything past the ground floor, and going up higher, actually is not generally acquired in the sale of a house until you actually specify and say that you're selling Umka Varuma. So therefore, when he does say Umka Varuma, when that is written in the document, to mean, and that's superfluous because, okay, we already know you're selling the house, what are you including when you say Umka Varuma? That would not come to include the sale of the bar and the dus, because that's necessary for the Umka and Ruma itself. Because Ahani Umka Varuma Lemikni Umka Varuma. When you add on words of saying, okay, I'm selling you the depth and the height, that's coming to include that now he could dig underneath the ground. But that wouldn't include the bar and dus, which those have different functions from that of a house. But if he says even the greater superfluous words, which is tahoimara until the rim rikia, that's lamikni bayrbadusim chiles, that would then come to include the sale of the pits and the cisterns and these different cavities that he has for storing things in the ground. Says the Gemara, lemisayele. Let's say the Mishnah on the next daf supports this halacha of Rav Dimi Narda. Why? Because the Mishnah there says, which is essentially the seifa of our Mishnah, which was saying if someone sells a house, what's not included in the sale, so too says the next Mishnah, Beloyes Abar, Beloyes Adus. The pit, the cistern, these things are not included in the sale of a house. Said the Mishnah, Alpha Pisha Kosovly Umkabaruma. And this is even if he was writing that I'm selling you the house and the depth of the house and the height of the house, the bar and the dus is not included. Says the Gemara, V'isa Gedai Tech Bestaman, that if you would entertain to say that in general, when it's not specified, meaning even if you don't write the words Umka Varuma, that Kani Umka Varuma, that then you still acquire the depth of the ground and the height to the sky. So then, Lahani Umka Varuma, so then actually when you do write these extra words of Umka Varuma, which are superfluous, that should help Lemikni Bar Vedusa Mechilas. That should give the right, which the Mishnah is clearly saying not like that, of getting the pits of water. So obviously, says the Gemara, you could infer that when he adds on the extra words of Umka Varuma, you need it for the Umka Varuma itself, which is to acquire the depth that you could dig beneath, and for the Ruma. Now, so therefore, there's no extra superfluous terminology to then say that's coming to include in the sale, the bar and the dos, until you're right, like Rav Dimi was saying, and that's the support the Gemara is trying to bring from that Mishnah, Me'ara Tohima, until Reim Rikia, those words would then come to include bar and dos. But Umka Varuma not, because that's necessary for the Umka Varuma itself. Then the Gemara says, no, it's not a raya. Because actually, that Mishnah is talking about Deloy Kosovle, where he did not write that he's selling him Umka Varuma, and that's why he does not acquire Bar Vedus. But actually, if he wrote just Umka Varuma, then actually he would acquire Bar Vedus, even though he did not write Aratayma, and actually we could say, not like Rav Dimi. Now the Gemara asks, how can you say that? For Afa Pisha Kosovle Ketani, but the Mishnah says clearly, even though he did write for him Umka Varuma, still, he's not going to get Bar Vedus. So how can you say it's someone that he did not write? So I think Moshe says, no, it's not difficult. The Hachakama, this is what the Mishnah is saying. Then no, Ava Pisha Loi Kosovlai. No, even though he did not write for him Umka Varuma, but it's going to be as Kemisha Kosov Dami, as if he did write Lemikni Umka Varuma, that he's selling him the depth and the height. In spite of that, says the Mishnah, Lemikni Bar Vedus Mechilas, but when it comes to acquiring the rights in the Bar Vedus Mechilas, then it's only Ikotivle Umka Varuma Kani. Then it's only if you write the Umka Varuma, then he's going to acquire. But if he does not write, then he's not going to acquire. What that means to tell us is that to acquire the Baron Dos, you have to write explicitly Kavaruma to be superfluous terminology to acquire the Bayer and the Dus. Because the truth is, for the Kavaruma itself, says the Gemara, we could tell you that actually you don't need to write Kavaruma. Because actually, generally, we could say it is included, the depth of the ground, in the regular sale of a house. Now, so what's the Mishnah saying? It's saying like this. It says, Loyas Abar Beloyas Adus. Even though that you wrote in the document that you're selling him the house, which the seller was okay each party was okay with the document of this sale, which automatically includes the umka and the ruma, because he wrote him, I'm selling you this house, and umka and ruma is included in the sale in the house. So that's when the Mishnah used the words, even though he writes him umka ruma, doesn't mean he wrote umka ruma. It means even though he wrote to him a house, which automatically includes umka ruma, still says the Mishnah, he's not going to acquire the bar and the dus, because that's not including the bias, like umka ruma, because it has a totally different function. But not that you have to write, like Rav Dimi said, from Ara to Haima. No, you don't have to. You just have to write Umka. And that would already include Bayer Vedus. And that's not contradicting from our Mishnah, because that Mishnah is saying that it is Umka Vruma was included and automatically with the bias, and still Bayer Vedus would not. But all you would have to do would write Umka Vruma, and you wouldn't have to write, like Rav Dimi says, Ara to Haima. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a raya. Toshima, the Gemara tries to bring a raya from a Mishnah we had in Daf Samach Aleph Manaf, again to bring support to Rav Dimi's halacha. Now, the beginning of that Mishnah is not talking about where he wrote Umka Varuma, because the Mishnah doesn't say anything of that effect. It doesn't say that even if he wrote him Umka Varuma. It's just saying regular, an unspecified situation. So therefore, the Mishnah says that he's not going to acquire this buyer, neither is the buyer going to be acquiring in the sale of this house the roof at a time when the roof has a wall around it that's 10 tefachim high, which that's included in Ruma, which as that's the Gemara's assumption right now. So that's not included in the sale of a house. Says the Gemara, as we continue in time of Samachtal Man Aleph, now these are Gedai Dechavyud entertained to say, Bistama Kani Kabruma, like you had asked to say, not like Rav Dimi, that you wanted to say, no, maybe it could be that generally Kabruma would be included in the general sale of a house. It's just Bayer Vedus would need Umka Varuma, but not like Rav Dimi says that, no, Umka Varuma is not included, and then you have to write Umka Varuma, and therefore to get even the extra thing of Bayer Vedus would require even a greater superfluous terminology of Aratahima. Says the Gemara, if you're entertaining like you had asked in Rav Dimi, that in general, when someone sells a house, the buyer acquires the depth and the height. So in Kigivaya Saratvacham I have a. So what's the difference if the rooftop has a wall around the 10 tefachim high, why would the buyer not acquire it? You say he acquires everything all the way up to the sky. Rather, says the Gemara, what you can infer is that no, generally the Raima, just like we're saying the Umka, the buyer does not acquire. He does not acquire a rooftop that's 10 tefachim high, and neither does he acquire the roof that's from 10 tefachim higher up to the sky. Now, the same thing would then be that the same thing would apply for Umka, that generally, the person would not get the depth, like Rav Dimi said, because you did not specify Umka Varuma. Now, however, as we know from the halacha of our Mishnah, a roof that does not have a wall that 10 tefachim high, then, Mistama, that would be acquired by the buyer to utilize that area on the rooftop, because that wouldn't be called Raima, explains Rashbam. Rather, that would be considered part and parcel of the house, of the upper story that there is of the house itself, and therefore that would be included. But says the Gemara, seemingly that this is a raya from our previous Mishnah to the halacha of Rav Dimi. And the Gemara rejects the raya and says, no, keep the gevaya sar tefachim, since the rooftop is 10 tefachim high, it has a wall around the 10 tefachim high, so chashiv, it's considered distinct as if it's its own house. So therefore, it's not secondary to the house itself that was sold until you would specify gevaruma. But it still wouldn't prove like Rav Dimi. Actually, the airspace on top of the rooftop, all the way to the sky, that is Ruma, because that's just the height of the house, and that would be included in the sale. And the same thing would be, the Umka would be automatically included in the sale, and we could say not like Rav Dimi. So though, yes, you prove that the rooftop itself is not automatically included in the sale, until you would say Ruma, but that does not prove Rav Dimi's halacha. Because generally we could say that actually the Umka Varuma is included automatically in the sale of a house. And therefore in this case, even of our previous Mishnah, the guy could dig underneath and he could go and build up on top to the sky on top of this building, even though he didn't say Umka Varuma. But the rooftop that has a 10 tefachim high wall around it, we consider as if it's a separate area, like a separate house. I only sold you this house, not this house. And that's not, the rooftop lounge is not considered part of the house itself. And that's why, since it's a chash of a thing, that's why it gets to hold on to it, but not because it's rumo, which is not included in the sale, and therefore could be there's no riot to Rav Dimi. Maybe generally we would say that to get Boyer and Dus, you don't need to say Ara from the Ara to Haima. All you have to say is Umkavuruma. Because actually to get Umkavuruma, you don't have to say anything that's automatically included in the sale of a house, which this Mishnah would agree to that same concept. It's just when there's a rooftop area that's 10 tefachim high, that's considered like its own bias, and that's why that's not included in the sale of the house.